Good morning and welcome to Discovery Community Church. We invite you to stand with us as we begin our worship today. We're starting off worship.
Glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings.
Yeah, this is amazing grace.
Faces. This is such a fun space to get to see your faces up close.
And welcome everyone on live stream. Everyone say hi, live stream viewers.
What up?
Please drop a note in the chat and let us know you're here. We just are looking forward to worshiping with you all this morning. Luke's going to be my special helper this morning for announcements. Okay, so if you're new to us, Luke, will you hold this up? There's lots of things in there, so be careful because I've dropped them all before. I'm sure, raise your hand if you've everything fell out, and you're like, woo, yep. So this is our worship folder. If you're new to us, this is a great place to start, to take a peek inside the folder. There's lots of information about Discovery and about upcoming events and all sorts of good things coming at us. And we have some things we're going to talk about in just a second. The second thing I want to point out, you want to hold this up, Luke? This is called our connection card. So this is something we would love for everybody to fill out because, one, gives you a chance to, if you want to connect with us, we would love to connect with you. Or if you have a prayer request that you want to share with us, it's a great place to share that. We have people praying over prayer requests all week long. It's just a good place to communicate and let us know how we can connect with you or if you would like to connect with us. So we will be gathering this at the end of service, so you have time to think about that. And and please do feel free to have a seat. I always forget that, and I'm so, so sorry. All right, so next, great job, Luke. You can hold on to that. All right, so coming up, we have some really fun things coming up, especially today. So today we have Disco Fest Day Out. Yeah, we can give that a little whoop whoop. And here's the card that has the information on it. So we were going to be meeting at Steel Lake, and I believe we have a map. So I'm going to come Vanna over here at this map. I've been told to give clear directions that we will be at Site 1. Can you guys say Site 1?
Site 1.
Also, I did not mention I'm a children's ministry director, so if you feel that energy, that's why. So the red star on the map is Site 1. It's kind of all the way next to the dock and the lake. It's like the lake spot up there. So we are going to have, oh, Luke, you can come back over here. We will have lots of people directing to the right direction, so don't worry, but just so you know, look for the red star. And online, you can follow the QR code, and the map is there, too. I'm a very visual person, and usually I have to get lost to find my way. I'm sure there's a sermon there somewhere, I don't know. There's going to be so many activities, right, Luke? So we're going to have food. It's a potluck style. Discovery's going to be grilling. We have some. Who's grilling for us? Do we know? Oh, X. Yeah, thanks, X. Let's hear it for X.
So there's also water activities like swimming and stuff, a playground for all those kids, and field games and stuff, and there's also baptisms as well.
Oh, that's right. Good job. Yeah. All right, I think we covered that one. And then another fun thing will be coming up between now and mid-August. We are going to be doing a school supply drive. So you will have the opportunity, if you, after service, there's a list. If you kind of swing around this curtain over here, there's a list of supplies we're looking to gather. We are looking for new supplies, or you can also make a donation and just put a note that it's for school supplies, and we'll know how to direct that. And we have our very own Barb has offered to go shopping for that to make sure we have all the supplies that we are donating to various community groups. So Mary Lyon, we have some other groups, too, that we're looking at donating school supplies. So we're starting the year off strong and loving on our community. And I think I got that. And then what can we expect today? So we're going to worship some more. We're going to hear from Pastor John this morning. We're going to continue our series with Believe, Be Live, Be Live, one of those. And I expect to hear some good stuff there. We're going to pray. We're going to share communion. And then we're going to expect to hear from God this morning. Right, Luke?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Thank you all. Thank you, Kirsten and Luke. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Father God, it is a joy to come into your house and to be here with your family. We thank you for redeeming us into family with one another. We ask that you hear our praise today, that you hear us lift up your name, and that you would make your presence known. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
There's a name that levels mountains. It carves out highways through the seas. I've seen his power unravel battles right in front of me. There's a faith that stands defiant. It sends Goliath to his knees. I've seen his praise unravel shackles right off my feet. That's the power. That's the power of your name. Just a mention makes a way. Giants fall and strongholds break, and there is healing. That's the power that I claim. It's the same that rolled the grave. There's no power like the mighty name of Jesus.
There is a hope.
There's a hope that calls out courage in the furnace unafraid. The kind of daring expectation that every prayer I make is on an empty grave. That's the power of your name. Just a mention makes a way. Giants falling, strongholds breaking, there is healing. That's the power that I claim. It's the same that rolled the grave. There's no power like the mighty name of Jesus. There's no power like the mighty name of Jesus.
I see you taking ground. I see you press ahead. Your power is dangerous to the enemy's camp.
You still do miracles. You will do what you said. For you're the same God now as you've always been. Your spirit breaking out. Your kingdom moving in. Your victory claims the ground that the enemy has. You still do miracles. You will do what you said. For you're the same God now as you've always been. That's the power of your name. Just a mention makes a way. Giants falling, strongholds breaking. There is
darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord.
It's your breath.
It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out. Your breath.
give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out. So we pour out our praise to you, only God.
All the earth will shout your praise.
All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
God, we love you and we praise you. God, you are worthy of all of our praise. Everything we do, you are worthy of. As Pastor John comes up to speak, we pray that you open our ears and open our hearts for the message that you have for him and for us this morning. God, let it be your words and not his. In Jesus' name, amen.
And thank you, worship team. And yeah. If you have a Bible, I want to encourage you to find the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5 is where we're going to begin today. We're going to be reading a lot of different passages. Most of them will be on the screen up here. But Romans 5 says, "Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Let me read that one more time. Romans 5:5 says, "Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Let me pray for us one more time. Jesus, thank you for this day. That's a prayer that Jesus people have casually prayed over and over throughout the years. But as we pray that this morning, we recognize that this day doesn't exist without your grace and mercy. And I don't mean merely that the sun rising in the east and setting in the west is dependent upon your hand. I mean my very breath is dependent upon you. It's just by your grace and mercy that you allowed me to wake again. Some of us in the room this morning, we woke up, and we woke up into the most glorious day. Birds were chirping, and things are going so sweet. Some of us this morning, as our eyes opened and we realized the heart was still beating, we woke up to heaviness, a loss, a difficulty. Some of us woke up into a circumstance that just doesn't seem to go away. And as we pray, thank you for this day, it's a struggle for us by faith to say thank you. But we do it because we believe that you are a good God. And that somehow in this moment, in this season, this hour, this day, you will bring about your best, your good. Right now, I don't see it, don't feel it. But I trust that you're doing something good in my life. Would you say that? You don't have to say it out loud. Maybe just between you and God, you can just say, God, I trust that you're doing something good. Whatever you want to do in and through and around my life today, may it be for your glory. And in Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Before we just dive right back in, a couple of things. Again, welcome to Discovery Summer Edition. I drove up this morning. I've been gone the last couple of Sundays. I guess I was here two Sundays ago, but I drove up and I was like, they won't even let us in. And then the part of me as I was parking, I was like, you know what? Just bring it. Come on, world. And then I was a little cautious. I thought, should I tell you guys that? But I was just like, you know, we are, Jesus people for the last 2,000 years, we have adapted. That's what Jesus people do. And this church is adapting this summer. And I'm just really, really, really proud of you. And honestly, meeting here in this cafeteria, there's some blessings as a result of it. Wouldn't you agree? There's some really cool things. And so that's what God does. And so, I don't know, they can keep blocking the streets. They can try whatever they want, but they will not stop the kingdom of heaven. Okay. Anyway, there you go. So a couple of things about this morning. So we worship together. We're going to spend some time in Scripture. I'm going to encourage you to take some notes. Pull your phone out. Use the Bible on your phone if you want. If you want an actual paper Bible, we have one on this blue table over here. Go grab one. We're kind of a relaxed environment, so please don't hesitate. See, Bruce is showing you. Thank you, Bruce. Bruce right now is going to go over and get one. So anyway, we want you to feel at home. And not just feel at home, this morning we've been praying for you to have an encounter with the gospel. And so as part of our service, not only are we going to have some teaching time, but we're going to share communion together. And if you're a Jesus follower, we're going to invite you to share communion with us. But I'm also going to say during communion, it'll be a really important time for you maybe to receive some prayer. And I didn't tell her I'm going to do this, but Kathy, could you just stand just for a second? Kathy's a friend of mine, and So if during communion, if you would like someone to pray with, Kathy would be a great person. The second person I'm going to introduce to you is Tad. Tad, would you stand for just a moment? So now there are several other people in this room that you could go to and pray with, but this morning I just want to highlight a couple of people that during our time of communion, if you're like, man, I don't want to walk out of here the same way I walked in. I need somebody to be a part of my journey. And listen, again, in this room, some of you are having the best week of your life, okay? Some of you, Josh, he helped catch a king salmon. Did you land it or were you just in the boat?
Buddy, I was in a separate
You're a separate boat, okay. Josh, listen, let's go back and do this again. Josh caught a king salmon. It was so amazing. He had a great week. I just was like a softball. I set that up like on the tee for you. Okay. And some of you have had not such amazing weeks. You were in a different boat and you didn't. Okay. So really, honestly, we're a family. We're a very diverse family. And if you have some stuff there, I want you to know that there's some heavy things going on that I know about. And there's many that I don't. And I just don't want you to walk in and smile and go back to your business and be like, nobody knows. Because there's a family here that would like to be in the journey with you. Okay, that's a whole other sermon. I apologize if I've belabored that. But at the end of my teaching time, we're going to share communion. If you would like someone to pray with you, grab somebody, okay? Our series is called Believe. It doesn't spell that way. It looks like Be Live. And what we're talking about this summer is we're talking about what Jesus followers believe. These are things historically Jesus followers have believed for the last 2,000 years. We're taking about 9 weeks to walk through some fundamental, what some people will call Christian beliefs, but it's not just what Jesus people hold to, but it's also what they live. So that's why we kind of have a little play on this word, believe, and it looks like live. It's like, what are these things that we say we hold to, do they make a difference in our lives? And so we are also kind of taking a survey of this book of Romans. And when I say survey, it just means we're kind of blasting through and landing occasionally at some really important places in the book of Romans. And so in Romans 5, let's read it one more time. I might even sneak in it a couple more times. It seems a little small, but I'm hoping this morning you might see its significance. Romans 5 again says, hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. One of the incredibly essential yet deeply misunderstood persons of the Godhead is the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit. Now, we live with some distortion in our culture around things of the Spirit. Our culture is saturated with spiritual things that make it seem kind of weird and confusing when it comes to spiritual things in the Bible, like Star Wars. I'm a fan of Star Wars. I like it, but it has distorted our understanding of the Spirit, thinking of it as a force. Or there's a plethora of movies about the supernatural, like, say, Ghostbusters, and some humorous and not so humorous. And we have distortions around the spiritual world. We even have distortions from the church. Many, I think, have been distorted by TV healers. And so when this concept or idea or this thing called the Spirit comes up, I even watch Jesus people get a little weird. Like, whoa, what's going to happen? And then someone talks about the Holy Spirit, and we just back away from the conversation. Like, hey, I believe the Holy Spirit, but I just don't know what it means and what it has to do with me. Now, listen again to Romans 5. Romans 5 says something very important. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Romans 5 says something really powerful. That is that you, if you're a Jesus follower, are already experiencing the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. You already have this gift of the Holy Spirit because God has given the gift as a vehicle for you to experience Him in His fullness. And it's when I say vehicle, I think a little bit, it's like every Jesus follower has a garage. And in your garage is a Ferrari. And many people do not know or understand the incredible transformational power that is accessible already in your home, in your life, the gift of the person of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to skip a few passages, a few chapters forward in the book of Romans. If you have your Bible, flip open to Romans 8. We're going to read a few verses starting in verse 5. It says, those who live according to the flesh, this is Romans 8, 5, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Verse 6 says, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by this flesh is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law, nor can it do so. But those who are in the realm of the flesh, they just simply cannot please God. You, however, you are not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. That is so good. Listen just again to verse 6. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Who doesn't want life and peace? You know, we in the church talk so often about how Jesus, you know, in John 10, Jesus says, I didn't come to steal your life. The thief comes to steal. You guys remember what he said? I came to give you what? Life, and give that life abundantly. Now, how does he give us the abundant life? Through the gift of his Holy Spirit. He has given his Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the third person of the Godhead, to live and exist in every man, woman, and child who puts their faith in Jesus. You are given the gift of the Spirit so that you can live a life of meaning and purpose and power. Who is the Holy Spirit? Now, honestly, guys, we could be here for hours, so we're going to go fast. I'm going to take you to John chapter 16, where Jesus introduces us briefly to who the Holy Spirit is. Now you're going to notice my language. I'm not talking about the Spirit as a force. The Spirit is not some sort of like gift dangling on a string from heaven you might get, you know. It's not like some ooey-gooey thing. The gift of the Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He is one with God. Jesus says in John 16, very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate, this is a name of the Holy Spirit, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. And about righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Verse 12 says, I have so much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Just a few quick hitters for your notes. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit reveals to us who Jesus is. The Holy Spirit reveals what is right and true. You know, by the way, if you've ever had this gut, you're a Jesus person, you're like, I've got this gut feeling that this is what's really true in this situation, most likely is the work of the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit not only reveals what's right and true, the Holy Spirit exposes sin. If you've ever had a moment where you're feeling a little, got some guilt slipping in there, right? As a Jesus follower, that is often the work of the Spirit exposing sin in your life. Jesus says in John 16 that the role of the Holy Spirit is to judge hearts, and also, though eternally existent, that means the Holy Spirit has always and will always. He always has been, always will be. The Holy Spirit is eternal, and while the Holy Spirit has been eternally existent, after his resurrection, he, the Holy Spirit, indwells all of those who follow Jesus. Amen? Now, other parts of the New Testament tell us some other things about the Holy Spirit. These are just some things to write down, take notes about. The New Testament tells us the Holy Spirit brings us comfort. The Holy Spirit brings us counsel. The Holy Spirit fills us with power. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts, spiritual gifts. As a Jesus follower, the Holy Spirit is going to empower you with a gift, a unique gift in your life. The Holy Spirit will not only give gifts, the Holy Spirit will give spiritual fruit. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray. Ultimately, if I was going to give you one sentence, I'd say this. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity and God's gift to move your faith from the theoretical to the practical. The reason God gives the Holy Spirit into your life is to make the stuff that you know to be true up here, that you want to be true here, to become true right here. The work of the Holy Spirit is to take this theoretical faith and to make it alive in your life to the glory of God. 2 Timothy 1:7, the Spirit of God that God gave us doesn't make us timid, doesn't make us weak, doesn't make us powerless, doesn't make us ineffective, but the Spirit that God gave us gives us power, love, and self-discipline. God's Holy Spirit is in your life so that you will start living the life that you know God has called you to. Isn't that cool? Okay, so then you might be thinking, all right, that's nice. I took some notes. Now what? Do I have a role in this? Do I have a job? The answer is yes. Ephesians chapter 5 says this, real simple. Be filled with the Spirit. So as Jesus followers, we have a responsibility to surrender our lives, every corner of our lives, to the work of the Spirit. In fact, I'll kind of elaborate a little bit. Paul says in Ephesians 5, he says, don't get drunk with wine. Don't be intoxicated. Now, he's actually not passionate about wine or beer or alcohol. He's talking about any intoxicant. And as you and I know, we can distract our lives, our mission, our purpose with all sorts of things, right? We could fill a whiteboard up here with the things that distract, that intoxicate us. Paul says, your life is not meant to be intoxicated with the things that intoxicate the rest of the world. Instead, God's call for you is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I like what David Guzik says in his commentary about Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians. He says this, the filling of the Holy Spirit is not a one-time event that we live off for the rest of our days. It is a constant filling, asking to be filled and receiving the filling of the Spirit. Now, I already know that I'm freaked some of you out when I said filled with the Spirit. Some of you are like, what's he going to talk about? How does this work? For the next few minutes, I want to talk about how this can become a reality in your life. What is God's intent for you? What does it look like to be filled with the Spirit? So to be filled with the Spirit, number one, requires being filled once by the saving work of Jesus. I want you to write this verse down. I don't want you to lose it. I want you to write it down. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. We were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. When you invited Jesus into your life, at that very moment, you were filled with the Spirit. So I brought an illustration today. This probably is a good illustration of my life. Maybe yours. A little cloudy. A little murky. A little defiled. By the way, with coffee. So this is often a great illustration, I think, of our lives. That we come to God, we recognize that we need God to do something in our life. We invite Jesus into our life, and Scripture tells us, again, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, let's read it one more time. We were all baptized by one Spirit to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were, is it up there still? No. Okay, so I'll just tell you. You can look down in your Bible, okay? 1 Corinthians 12:13. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. At that very moment that you invited Jesus into your life, just as he promised in John chapter 16, at that very moment, his Holy Spirit came into our life and filled us. Am I filled with the Holy Spirit? It's kind of a little trick question, but I'm just going to take the trick away. The answer is yes. At that very moment you invite Jesus into your life, you received the gift of the indwelling of the third person of the Trinity. God's Spirit comes and he dwells inside your life. Fills you completely to the extent in which you will surrender your life to him. You're saved, you're redeemed, you're a child of God. There are still some parts of your life that are unredeemed and unreconciled. Amen? So that's why you don't have to get cleaned up to take a bath. You don't have to get all your stuff in order before you say, Jesus, will you save me? Jesus saves and redeems that man, that woman at that moment. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit comes inside your life and fills you completely. That doesn't mean that everything in your life is hunky-dory. Amen? That doesn't mean that you've conquered every addiction, every temptation, every struggle. It doesn't mean that. It means right at this moment, you are filled with the Spirit. With the Spirit to the extent in which you surrender to his leadership and lordship in your life. Amen? Amen. So let's go back to Ephesians 5:18 again. I mentioned that being filled is not just at one time. What Paul's writing about in Ephesians 5:18 is he's saying this. Your job, your role is to get up each and every day and live a life that's constantly being filled. Each and every day of your life, you allow his Holy Spirit to fill you. How do you do this? I'm going to share with you four things that you and I have to do to watch God fill us. Number one, we are filled daily by his Holy Spirit when we are drinking his word. John 14:26, Jesus says, the advocate, that's the other name for the Holy Spirit I gave you a few minutes ago. The advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. The job of the Holy Spirit is to help God's word that's already living and breathing. Some of you are worried that it's going to spill everywhere. It's amazing. It is going to spill everywhere. It's the work of God. It's going to spill all over your life. And it does it when you and I are drinking deeply of his word. God's word is living and active. The Holy Spirit takes God's living and breathing word and he translates it into the broken places of your life. And if you want to be filled daily with God's word, be filled daily with the Spirit, you must be drinking deeply of God's word. Romans 12 says this, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You want to be filled with the Spirit of God? It starts with inviting Jesus into your life. He comes. He indwells your life. He fills you completely. Now, each and every day, he invites you to drink deeply of his word. And as you do that, he begins to wash over your soul. Here's the second thing that God's called us to do daily. Second is we're called daily to be filled with the Spirit through prayer. James 4 says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Come near. Isn't that a great promise? Oh, that the man would just slow down for a minute and seek the face of God. Oh, that woman would just simply slow down and approach the throne of God and say, God, I long for you. Though you wake up late, though there's much on your calendar, though there's much to do in your life, if you would simply draw near in prayer, the Holy Spirit will fill every corner and crevice of your life. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? Do you hear what Jesus is saying? If you were to ask for the Spirit of God to fill you and fill your relationships and fill your job, fill your family, would he not do that? Anybody? God's just waiting for you to come and say, will you fill me? I don't know why it is that I look at every man this way. I don't know why it is that I look at every woman this way. I don't know why it is that I look at every situation in this way. God, would you wash over me? Would I begin to see men, women, children, circumstances, the world? Would I begin to see you in the way that you designed me to? God, would you fill me with your Spirit? And as you pray daily, he washes over you. Third thing God invites you and I to do is to be filled daily through practice. Would you guys say practice? Galatians 5:16, Paul writes this. He says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So this is a pretty important verse. Paul's not saying, hey, just follow your heart, dude. Just do what you want. No, Paul says, don't do what you want. Make a decision to practice putting your feet where Jesus would put his feet. Practice using your hands the way that Jesus would use his hands. Practice the gifts of the Spirit. In fact, a few verses later, Paul writes in Galatians 5, he says, by the way, here are the fruits of the Spirit. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, forbearance, and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Two important things about the fruits of the Spirit. One is that these fruits are things that the Spirit provides and brings. But second, these are the practices that yield the work of the Spirit in your life. You tracking? So you say, okay, I don't feel loving today, but I'm going to practice it. Forbearance. What the heck is that? Think of it as kindness. I don't feel kind today. In fact, I'll be real honest. They don't deserve kindness from me. But I'm going to practice it. I don't feel peaceful today. But I'm going to practice it. And you see, the more that you practice it, the more that you are making a decision to surrender to the work of the Spirit in your life. And as you do that, he transforms you. The fourth, be filled daily through trust. Romans 8:2, this is in a, I like this translation. It's called Easy English. I need easy English. If you belong to Christ Jesus, God's Spirit has given you a new life. And God's Spirit now rules in your life, and he has made you free. Sin and death no longer have authority over you. I'm going to read it again. I want you to let it sink in. This is not aspirational. This isn't what could be. This is what is about you. If you belong to Christ Jesus, God's Spirit has given you a new life. And God's Spirit now rules in your life and has made you free. Sin and death no longer have authority over you. You know what God wants you to do? Is God wants you to trust that what he has begun in you will be completed. I love Philippians 1:6. It's one of my favorite verses. Philippians 1:6 says, be confident of this. What was that word again? Be what? Be confident of this. Be confident of this. He who began a good work in you will complete it until the very day of Christ Jesus. Listen, he has started something amazing in your life. And I know that there are people around you that are always reminding you how much you suck. Aren't there? Like, there are people, they might not be saying it overtly, but they just do something and it takes you back like 10 years. It takes you back 20 years. It reminds you of how your dad talked to you, your mom talked to you, third grade teacher talked to you. Like, it just takes you back. All day long, there's things all around you that remind you that you don't have enough. And God says, no. I want you to turn your eyes to heaven, and I want you to remember something. You are a walking, living temple of the living God. It's 1 Corinthians 6. You can look that up a little later. You're a walking, breathing temple of the living God. The third person of the Trinity lives inside of you, abides in you, indwells you. He's begun something in you that is amazing and beautiful, and he will not quit. He's not giving up in your life. And you should walk in a trust. I mean, like, you should have a little bit of a, I'm confident, not in my skill or my ability or what I've accomplished. I'm confident in a God who looked down on this broken life and said, you are so valuable that I'm sending my son to die for you. And then he's going to rise on the third day from the grave to bring you victory over sin and death. And then furthermore, I'm going to fill you with my spirit because you are the imago Dei, the image bearer of God. When I see you, I see my son. So walk in this amazing confidence. I love James 1. It says this, when you ask, you must believe and don't doubt because the one who doubts is like a wave of a sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Trust. The Spirit's speaking to you right now. Some of you have a decision you have to make. The Spirit's speaking to you. Trust it. Some of you have some things that you know God's called you to let go of. And trust that the Spirit's speaking to you. Trust that you have an anointing at work. Trust that God has appointed you and sent you there on a mission. Trust that he's put you in that neighborhood at this time. Trust that you are a walking temple of a living God. If you belong to Christ Jesus, God's Spirit has given you a new life. And God's Spirit now rules in your life, and he has made you free. Sin and death no longer have authority over you. You've already discovered the one essential missing piece in my illustration is that the Holy Spirit never runs out. But you can already see what has happened in just a few short moments. That there has been a significant transformation. Is this filled with the Spirit? Yes. Is the Spirit done yet? Not yet. And it's your job and my job to draw near to God each and every day and say, will you fill me with your Spirit? Which means surrendering your life, your will, your fears, your successes, every corner of your life, surrendering it to the work of the Spirit. And as you do that, he changes you. Some of you, you haven't felt it every day, but if you look back 10 years, you're in a way different place than 10 years ago. Anybody say amen to that? Some of you are like, man, if you, I have some friends here that they're like, if you knew me 20 years ago, you wouldn't want to know me 20 years ago, right? But the reality is that God's Spirit has been doing an amazing work in my life. So what do you need to do today? What's God inviting you to do today? Is it surrendering to Jesus once and for all? Would you come into my life? I would just encourage you not to walk out of here but without doing that. And some of you, it might be like, oh, man, the truth is I invited Jesus in my life, but I have been so intoxicated. You remember that word from earlier? I'm so intoxicated with worries and work and distractions. I know God's calling me back to a daily surrender to Him. Pick up one of the things that we talked about in the last few minutes. And I want you to metaphorically put it in your hand. And right now, bow with me, okay? So metaphorically, whatever you know God's calling you to do, just put it in your hand and pray with me something like this. Thank you this morning for allowing me to have another day of breath. Jesus, will you come into my life? I recognize that it's a broken mess. I so deeply need you. Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Friends, there's no magic words. There's no special religious formula. The New Testament invites every man, woman, and child to put their faith in Jesus Christ right here in high school cafeteria. July 27, 2025, you can pray, Jesus, will you come to my life? And He absolutely hears and He absolutely does. For some of us in this room, we've had a Ferrari in the garage. We've been missing out on the transformational power. This morning, maybe God has called you away from some distractions. You might this morning, with this thing in your hand, say, God, I know you're calling me to get in your word every day. God, I know you're calling me to prayer. God, I know you're calling me to practice some fruits of the Spirit, like love, joy. I want to practice joy, practice peace, forbearance or kindness. God, I know you're calling me to practice gentleness. I struggle with gentleness, self-control, whatever it is that God may be calling you, I just lift it up to Him and say, Father, by your power and strength, I know you're calling me to surrender to you daily. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for this promise, Jesus, that what you've begun, you will complete until the very day of your Son. Father, I pray this morning some men and women will be able to get up from this moment of worship and with some confidence. Not in themselves, but in a God who loves them so deeply. In Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite, we have some people that are going to be serving the Lord's Supper. I'm going to invite them to come. And while they're coming, I want to just again, at Discovery, we practice an open communion. That means that you don't have to be a member of this church to participate in the Lord's Supper. We do ask that you only participate in the Lord's Supper if you have invited Jesus in your life as Savior and Lord at some point in your life. If you have a child with you today and you know that they've not invited Jesus into their life, still include them. Like, talk them through it and explain to them. Maybe one day when you invite Jesus into your life, this will be something you'll do, but let me talk to you about it. And so you're going to be able to come forward and take the elements. We typically take them back to our seats. Sometimes you'll see people stand kind of on the side and take them. While we're doing that, I'm going to ask Kathy and Tad to be available right over here. If you'd like to pray with somebody, you have something, that you was like somebody be in your corner praying, I'd like you to go over and just take this opportunity to pray with Kathy or Tad. And after we take communion together, we're going to do a couple other things, so don't leave quite yet. So when you're ready, you come and take the elements.
Join us as we sing.
What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Thank you.
forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave.
Just for a moment, Kirsten, come on up. We are going to, at this moment, begin passing some baskets. This is what we call our giving back to God time. What we'd invite you to do is drop your connection card in these baskets. Some of you may choose to use this as a way to give back financially to God and his mission here in the city. We have some other ways to do that as well. One of the things that we like to share with people is, if this is your first time with us, please don't give any money. If this becomes your church home, we want you to get in on the great mission. We think that God's got us here for a great mission in this city, and you can be a part of it, and living generously is a big part of that. Like, this church is able to do some pretty awesome things in our city, in the lives of individuals and parts of our community because of your radical and consistent generosity. So thank you very much for your generosity. Kirsten's up here. We got a couple of things. One thing I wanted to talk about while I'm up here, I don't want to steal all the thunder, is that...
Steal all the thunder you want.
Yeah, there you go. So we have several really cool things going on this summer. One of them is the school supply drive.
Yes.
So there is a thing over here on my right, a little table that's got some ways that you can give back to our community. So we think it's just a really cool way to make a difference. But one of the things I wanted to add is this. If you know of a child or a family that has some significant needs as we get up closer to this school time, will you let me know? You can send me a text, send me an email, john@discochurch.com. And so I'm going to encourage you to do that somewhat discreetly. You know, we're not going to bring them up front. But if there's a family or a child or someone that you know has some needs, shoot me a note. We want to make sure that those needs are met as a church. And we, I mean, you have given so generously. We have some ability to do that. So anyway, I just want to say that with the supply drive, like, we're going to get pencils and backpacks. But again, if you know of a person or family, please bring that up to me, okay?
Sounds good.
Does that sound good?
That sounds great.
Yeah. And then you have some other stuff too.
Yep. So just a reminder, Disco Day Out, Disco Fest Day Out. Starts at 5, but if you're like, hey, you know what I'd really love to do is help set up, we would not stop you from helping.
No.
And we're going to be there around 4. So if you want to start, join at 4. Honestly, it's a fun way to get to know people, getting set up. It's going to be a beautiful day. Yeah. So if you want to do that.
You know what would be even more fun? What time does it get done?
It gets done around, right, Seth? Eight? Did we
8 say o'clock?
Eight?
Yeah. So even more fun at 8 o'clock
is
tearing down.
Right?
Yeah, it is so fun.
That is more fun.
So if you want to help pack some things up after, do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we say thanks, Lake, for having us.
Yeah.
And then we get out of there.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then can we embarrass one person?
I would love to because she knows it's all in love.
Okay, good. So I want to just is Sandra in the room?
Can you see
Sandra?
Did
she leave? She does this all the time.
Sandra.
So we're gonna embarrass her anyway. So listen, Sandra.
Womack, right? Like,
that's right.
We're gonna get clear.
That's right.
Sandra Womack.
Let's
just say her full name.
She's amazing, and one of the things that's on her heart is to provide hospitality for our church. And she has done this week in and week out. She takes on a load probably bigger than she should, right? And so
yep.
God has answered some prayers in her life. She has a new job she has begun. And so we're really excited for God's going to use this lady in some amazing ways. But for the next couple of months, we don't want her to worry about hospitality very much. So when you see her, first congratulate her on stepping into a new role. She's pretty excited about it. But if you would like to help fill some really big shoes in some way, providing hospitality on Sundays, so the next 2, 3, 4 months, we would love that.
And you know what?
Yeah.
Is awesome is when a team wants to do it together,
yeah.
It does not make it feel heavy, right?
Yeah, that's
so
right.
It could be fun.
This could be fun. And we have a great team already. There's some great
yes.
people that they're on this team too, but
yes.
I don't want to leave them out. But yeah,
don't
you want to be
out.
A part of the team.
Yes.
Agreed. Yep. Okay. Anything else?
Don't forget, as you're leaving, to grab a cup of coffee and make a friend. Meet somebody that you haven't met before. Be brave. It's hard for everybody
totally.
To make a new friend. So don't be shy.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Get out of here!
Jake!
God bless you guys.